Let's read from verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now again, we look to God to bless his word and the ministry from his word. Now I'm going to take a wee bit of a liberty in this session and poke you quite a bit, not physically but verbally, because this section is a very practical section, and we want to feel the weight of that and the challenge of it at the end of this day. It's all about the preaching of the gospel. Now, of all the things that we talk about, this is perhaps the chief. We talk a lot about the preaching of the gospel. We don't necessarily preach a lot, but we talk a lot about the preaching of the gospel. We talk about where it should be preached, how it should be preached, the content, the time, the context. There are so many things that exercise the conversations that we have. I would judge flowing out of a genuine concern about our ineffectiveness in preaching the gospel. So as we look at this, let's feel the challenge of it, and perhaps let's accept as we start that we have much to learn, perhaps to relearn, much to be challenged about, much perhaps even to repent about when we think about the preaching of the gospel. I fear that many of us, and as I stand before you, obviously I include myself in that because this is generally what I do, but I do feel that we have kind of let the Lord down a bit in this area of recent times when we think about the preaching of the gospel. So let's look at this then and see what Paul has to say. The main point to begin with is a simple one, and we'll pick it out of verses 14 and 15 primarily, and the point is just this, that since the gospel is for all, we must preach it to all. That's the point. If the gospel is to the whosoever, then we must preach to the whosoever. Now sometimes we preach to the whosoever, or we preach a message about the whosoever, but we don't preach to the whosoever. We preach to a very, very limited body of people. But we're preaching a message of whosoever. Get this point as we start out, that the message is to the whosoever and about the whosoever. So we must be prepared to preach to the audience that the message addresses, which is simply the whosoever. Which means you will preach to anyone and you will preach to everyone, none excluded. So since the gospel is for all, we must preach to all. Now, I just want to pick out some points here from these verses. Because what the Apostle Paul is saying is that this message must be preached. It must be preached. Now, he says in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? So the first thing I want to think about is the sending forth of preachers. The sending forth of preachers. Now, we don't want at the moment to think about areas which are far from us, although everything we say applies to that. In other words, missionary work in different countries. What I'm going to say applies there. But for many of us, the only contact we'll have with that is when we hear what they call a real live missionary. When we hear a real live missionary and we hear a report or we communicate by letter or so forth, and I'm not really thinking about that so much today. I want to think about the mission field in which God has placed every one of us. So that for you will be different from me. It's the street you live in, it's the family of which you form a part, it's the office or the factory or the college or the school, it's your community, whatever that community may be. That's your mission field. I was sitting in a school not so long ago in Lanarkshire, having done some RE teaching in the school, and I was sitting in the staff room, which is always a very intimidating place to sit, and as I was sitting there looking for somebody to speak to, this teacher came over and sat down beside me, and very soon it was obvious that she was a Christian, and she said to me, "This is my mission field," that staff room. And I remember that, and I thought about that, and that is true. The community into which our lives have been placed, whatever it is, that's our mission field. Now, God may send you to another community, and that will be your mission field, or he may send you into the mission field of your work, or your street, or whatever. Doesn't matter. But the same principle applies. The sending of those who will preach the gospel. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples that they should pray the Lord of the harvest, that he would send out workers into the harvest. Now, the only thing about that is that when you make that prayer, as with many prayers, then very often God turns it upon yourself and says, well, that's a great prayer, and you're the person that are making the prayer, you are the person I'm going to send into the harvest. Sometimes he does that. And you need to be prepared for that if you're sincere in your prayer. You see, God had saved Paul. When you think of this, God had saved this man. And God had appointed him as a minister and a witness and had sent him to the Gentiles. God had a mission, God had a message, and God sent him, and he fulfilled the mission by proclaiming the message. And he went and he preached. Now, the local assembly does that, and the local assembly affirms God's call to those who will leave them to preach. You get that in Acts 13 in the first few verses. God is still calling, but the assembly confirms and affirms that call, and they will send. So you're thinking about people sent from the assembly, and you're thinking about people like ourselves, many of us, who will function in our own communities. Sent by God. What have you ever feel that God has sent you into your workplace? God sent me there. And God has us living in a street or a place for a reason. And God has me as part of this family for a purpose. Do you ever feel a sense of God's sending, God's call upon your life, that you might be on mission, as they say nowadays, that you might be a missionary for God where he has placed you? On mission. When we send people out, then we must support those that we send. That goes without saying. We must support them principally in prayer and in every other way that support will be required, but we must support them and maintain relationships with them. And those who are sent must also understand the need that they will face to cross cultural barriers, linguistic barriers, in order to communicate the gospel. But that's not true of missionaries going to foreign places. That's also true of us own in our own culture. And we who have experienced God's salvation must take the message to others. It's a basic thing. Now here's where I poke you a wee bit. I ask you a question that's a difficult question to ask. To what extent and to whom have you taken this message? Can you actually say a name? Someone, a person that you have taken the message of the gospel to. I think you see, when you get caught up with schemes and with all this kind of thing, you miss this, and I miss this, that it's all about people, and it's all about communication with people, and it's all about personal witness ultimately. We can preach to the crowds, but ultimately it comes down to the personal witness of a Christian to another, and the witness concerning Jesus Christ. Sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? And sent to do what? Sent to preach. You know, I use different ways of communicating the gospel, but you know, they all come down to this. It's all the communication of the Word of God. It has to come down to this. And it comes down to the preaching of the word. You may put a verse on a screen, or you may have an illustration on a screen, or you may have an object lesson, or you may have this, that, or the other, but ultimately it comes down to the preaching of the word. That's what it comes down to. That's what God would send us to do. It is to herald forth. It's to represent our Master, our Saviour, our Lord. It's to proclaim, as someone on behalf of the King, the authoritative message regarding His Son, Jesus Christ. The preaching and the preacher, it all comes here from this idea of the herald. It's someone who's delivering a message, and the herald went out under the authority of the King with the message of the King, and he delivered it. Just delivered it. Just preached it. Just told it. Preachers who are sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? So why do we need the preaching? And why do we need the preachers? Well, the answer really is in the verse that precedes verse 15, verse 14, and it says this: how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom, and here it is, they have not heard. They have not heard. Now, we've heard a lot today about God and his action and his choice and so forth. Well, here's a wee bit at the end of the meeting about our responsibility. What about those who have not heard? Now, you don't need to go to a foreign country now. I could probably take a stone and throw it out from this hall, and within the radius there would be dozens of people, maybe more, who have never heard. They literally have never heard the gospel. They don't know it. In order to be saved, someone has to hear the gospel. It's as simple as that. Because faith comes by hearing, so they must hear. In order to hear, there must be someone who'll preach and must preach the message. And that person must be sent by God. You can see the flow of thought. So there needs to be those who hear. Now, this implies that the people who are sent must be able to communicate to that individual, because the gospel message must be heard. Must be heard. It's very simple, but the cross and the gospel is inherently offensive. Folks shut their ears to it. And so those who are hearing the gospel, well, as they hear the gospel, there must be the undergirding of prayer, and there must be that calling upon God that His Holy Spirit would take the word, and that the word would find good ground. Folks should hear. Let him that hath ears to hear. As we think about this in our own community, what a challenge is this to all of us? Have they never heard because we've never said? What about your neighbours? Will they go into eternity and you never told them? And I've got to think about my neighbours, and you've got to think about your neighbours, and I feel chastened saying it publicly because we all fail in some way in this, but nevertheless, let's say it and let's challenge our hearts with it. What about our neighbours? What about that person that sits in the office with you and you chat, you know, in the Monday morning, and the football gets talked about, and this gets talked about, and that gets talked about, but you've never actually told them about the Saviour? They've never heard. And who did God send to tell that person? Is it a coincidence that you're a Christian and you share a desk, or you share a street, or whatever, and you have the message, but they've never heard it? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except to be sent? Listen, don't just think about men in suits going two by two round doors and so forth. Don't just think about that. Think about ourselves. Think about us preaching. Think about us with a message. Think about us sent by God into our community. Don't think about public preaching necessarily. Think about the communication of the word. Think about a soul that's never heard, and think about the fact that God has maybe sent you to tell them. And to tell them what? To tell them the message of the gospel. Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, you see it in here, listen, the feet are dirtied and bloodied and so forth, and the person is bringing forth good tidings of good news. Good news. What better news? The news of a Saviour, the news of salvation, the news of an answer, the news of a God that's real and a God that's interested, an answer to the questions that people ask that gets thrown up time and time again, of atrocities and tragedies and problems and broken homes and broken health and all the rest of it. And folk have questions. The Bible is the answer in Christ. And it's a message of peace, and it's good news. And it's a message that doesn't disappoint. And it's a message that does bring salvation. It's good news. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe that with all our heart. We believe God is sovereign. We do believe that God chooses. But equally, we believe the whosoever of the gospel, and believe equally that the people round about us need to hear of a Saviour. And the message is a message that's been committed to us. Well, he says this in verse number 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, that's obvious by even observation. You know, we could go way down a different pathway here. I'm not going to go down in terms of effective gospel outreach. That's a different subject. But, you know, in our gospel outreach, and when we bring someone to hear the gospel, you and I both know that when you bring someone to hear the gospel, the likelihood is that they won't get saved. And you bring them back again to hear the gospel. And you keep bringing them if you can to hear the gospel. But not everyone that comes to hear the gospel gets saved. Now, it says here, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Should we be surprised by that? Should that be something that causes us to be disillusioned, discouraged, and to stop bringing people to hear the gospel or going out to tell people the gospel, perhaps? Listen, the gospel is for all, but the Bible never teaches us that all who hear will accept and receive. So we ought not to have that expectation. And what he says here is they have not all obeyed, because obeying the gospel is the same as believing the gospel. The word comes from the word from which we get acoustics, and it's the idea to hear under. It's the idea to be in submission under. And it's the idea of not just believing, but affirming this, that I will line up under the Saviour and obey and submit to Him. So in Romans 1 verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, Christ in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Being made perfect, Hebrews 5 verse 9, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Listen, when we take the gospel, we do not take a message that's an apology, a kind of weak type of thing, but rather it is the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is not a suffering Saviour, but a Saviour that suffered and is risen and glorified. We present a risen Saviour, a glorified Saviour, a Saviour that sits on a throne, to whom men must bow their knee, to whom men must repent before and accept His claims and accept Him as both Lord and Saviour. There must be obedience to the gospel of Christ. But not everyone obeys. And the prophet in Isaiah 53 is looking around to see if there's anyone who's going to believe this report. And in John 12, this is taken up again in the days of the Lord Jesus in verse 37 and verse 38 of that chapter. And says this, but though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Not everyone that hears obeys. However, verse 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I want to stop here for a minute or two. This is one of my favourite verses. I love this verse. Many translations say this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of Christ. And that, I understand, is perhaps a better translation. An essential element of evangelism is the communication of truth concerning Jesus Christ. Now, those of you that preach, here's a wee test. How often do you preach about the Lord Jesus? Now that's not as silly a question as it may first appear. Listen, you can preach about Lazarus, and the name of the Lord Jesus gets tagged on at the end of the story. The Good Samaritan. And then there's a wee bit at the end. You can be brave and go away into the Old Testament and bamboozle your audience and with names that nobody can pronounce and all sorts of stories and things like this, and at the end the Lord Jesus is just hidden in the long grass. To what extent do we actually preach Christ? Clear and in the centre of the message. It's all about Him. Starts, finishes, and everything in between is all about Him. If He's not in the message, it's not the gospel. It's all the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who hear must hear about Christ. It's as simple as that. They must hear about the Saviour. And the responsibility that we have is to communicate the truth about our Saviour. No, in Acts chapter 20, it says this, that Paul gave thorough testimony. Thorough testimony concerning repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the substance to gospel preaching? Where's the substance? Is it appeal after appeal after appeal? Emotive story, all directed toward response, response, response. Where's the substance? Where's the meat of the message? If you're preaching Christ, to what extent are you telling people about the Lord Jesus? What do they learn about Christ in your preaching? What do they know about this person that you're asking them to place their trust in for the salvation of their eternal soul? What information is given in the preaching? There needs to be substance about Christ in order for there to be faith in Christ. Otherwise, there's just faith in believing. It's all about believing. It's then a message that urges people to believe in believing. Trust Christ. Who's Christ? Don't know. Did you know he's the Son of God? Do you know he's eternal? Do you know he's sinless? Do you know he died? Do you know he was buried and he rose again the third day? Do you know he lives? Do you know something about the man that you're being asked to trust? There needs to be more. I often think this, that we get disappointed with false professions, and part of the responsibility with that lies in the preaching. It's preaching an inadequate gospel. And people, therefore, are not trusting the Saviour of the Bible. They're trusting the Saviour that they've heard about. That's not the Saviour of the Bible. Sometimes people never know that he was born of a virgin. Don't know that he was different and sinless and holy and pure. That's in the gospel. Don't know that he physically rose from the dead and he's a living Saviour. Never heard it. Just encouraged to believe and believe and believe. And we're so impatient in our gospel sometimes. We try, you know, we think this person's never going to hear it again, and we get all excited and say, you know, this person leaves that and they don't hear. Listen, when you preach the gospel, understand this, you're communicating divine truth. Preach substance as you preach the gospel. Trust the Spirit of God to take the word of God and do the work of God. Don't embellish it with stories, and don't try and make it into something it's not. And as we present the Saviour of the Bible, let us be faithful to the Saviour of the Bible and preach the gospel of the Bible and preach with substance. And that's harder. You men that preach know this. You have your sermons and you've preached your sermons. And I'm not being sarcastic in that in any way whatsoever. But you know, sometimes there's very little preparation goes into gospel preaching. And it comes over when the gospel is being preached. And so there needs to be substance, because this is a message about Christ, and there must be knowledge and information imparted in the preaching. Paul reasoned, Paul preached, Paul debated, Paul communicated, Paul was imparting information. And yes, it came with punch, and it came with weight, and it came with challenge, but there was substance in what he preached. In verse 18 he says this, have they not heard? Have they not heard? So they have not all believed. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But have they not heard? Have they not all heard? And he says, yes, verily, they have. Their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. He's quoting Psalm 19. And he is demonstrating something about the universal proclamation of the gospel. And in that psalm, David is talking about the natural creation. And he's talking about the stars and the heavenly bodies and the message that they proclaim. They proclaim to the whole earth that there is a God. And that message is continual. It's a constant testimony that God has cast into the heavens that there is a God. and he's a God of glory. There all the time. In every language, in every culture, people just need to lift their eyes to learn that there is a God. And he takes that and shows that as a foreshadowing of how the gospel would extend to all the earth, even as the testimony of the stars and the stellar bodies do in relation to the existence of God. So someone has said this, that as the stars have touched the earth with natural revelation, the gospel touches the earth with special revelation. Now that's not to say that the fullness of the gospel has been exposed to every single individual that lives. We would understand that. But remember, this is a work of God. And the gospel has been extended in such a way that where there is a seeking heart, there is a sent message. Now I believe that. Where there is a seeking heart, there is a sent message. He who knocks, it will open. He who seeks will find. And Paul is saying that the good news of the gospel, God has sent that all over the world. And it goes beyond the Jewish people and embraces the Gentiles, so that whosoever is true, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And God has shown this by sending his messengers all over the world. But maybe we need to take a bit of responsibility for our own wee patch. What a burden. You know, I live in a village. What a burden our village is. Bridge of Weir, big village. Wherever you stay. Some of you stay in villages, some of you stay in the city or the suburbs. But wherever we stay, what a burden. The people who live around us. And we are missionaries in that community. Make no mistake. We are divinely sent with a message to communicate to the people around about us. Have we any sense of that calling? Any sense of that mission that God would have us discharge? Verse number 19. He says, Did not Israel know? Have they not heard? Don't they know? And then he quotes a few verses, and I'll just quickly bring them to you. He says, first Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. And he's basically saying, listen, the Gentiles have heard the gospel, and God is seeking in that to provoke his special national people to jealousy. And as they had given their love to other gods, God has given his love to other peoples to provoke them to jealousy. But then in verse 20 he says, Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And he's seen basically the same thing from different Old Testament scriptures. But this last verse is a very poignant verse. To Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What a sad thing. It's like the Saviour standing over Jerusalem. How oft would I have gathered thee? As I think of my own community and you think about yours, I'm not too sure that would be true of us. And many of us could honestly stand there and say, I have stretched forth my hands. I have stretched forth my hands. And many of us have got our hands dirty in the service of the gospel, in the streets, and families, and communities, and needy all around us. Well, I don't mean just popping a track through a door. I mean getting it into people's lives with the gospel. And as we finish this section, what a challenge it is. This is the heart of God towards his people. They were a disobedient and gainsaying people, but his hands were stretched forth all day long. Such long suffering and patience that God has for his people. What about us? As you think about this, are we ignorant of the provision of Christ? Are we ignorant of these things? Do we know so little about it? That's why we have so little care about it. Are we ignorant of the place of faith and what that actually means? That it's not some kind of concept, airy-fairy type concept, but rather it is a response in faith to a person who is presented in the gospel. Present the person. Preach the word. Are we ignorant of the worldwide scope of the gospel and perhaps our place to assist that? You know, sometimes these Jews, one of the things they didn't like was the fact that the Gentiles were sharing in the blessing. You know, they didn't like that. They wanted it all for themselves. And so the Lord is trying to provoke them to jealousy by blessing these Gentile people as they should have been the conduit for in God's purpose. And they were selfish. They wanted it just for themselves. They didn't want to share that out amongst other people. You know, sometimes we like that. We love to be a Christian and we love some of the other Christians. Not all of them. But we love some of the other Christians. And let's be honest about it. And we want to share our lives with some of the other Christians. But the reality is, we really don't want to share our lives with anyone else. Never mind the gospel. That's the reality. We're quite happy with the way things are. Steady. And sometimes, the reason the message is not proclaimed is like Jonah. We're too afraid that God will actually save the people of our community. And that would cause us no end of trouble. And so it would. Let's make no mistake about it. So it would. And let's just finish with a wee challenge then. When you come to this, and you realise that this is all part of God's sovereign purpose. It's a big, big thing. And it has pleased God to give us the responsibility of the communication of the message concerning his son into the community. We don't know. You know, Paul had the great privilege when he was in Corinth of the Lord saying to him, I have much people in this place. Well, we don't know. We don't have that information. All the information we have is we've got a message to preach to the whosoever, and that's what we're charged with doing, and leave the results with God, and just preach and communicate and share and live out and get involved with those round about us. Let us feel the challenge of at the beginning of this year. For let's be honest, we certainly could do a bit better than last year. I don't even know how well you did last year, but I know this, you will to do a bit better if you let the rest of it. There's always room for improvement when it comes to gospel testimony. May the Lord bless.